In Digging for Truth, Brian Windahl reveals the archaeological evidence for biblical characters and events to remind us that what we read in the Bible has a clear historical connection. Here now is Brian Windahl.
What do King Arthur, the King of Gondor, and King Peter the Magnificent, High King over all Narnia, have in common? All of these kings are fictional characters. And some people see King David in the Bible the same way, just a legend who, if he existed, was nothing more than a tribal chief, certainly not the historical king of a great dynasty in Israel. Liberal Bible professors such as Philip Davies say, "I'm not the only scholar who suspects the figure of King David is about as historical as King Arthur." Archaeologist Israel Finkelstein says, "The United Kingdom of David and Solomon, described in the Bible as a regional power, was at most a small tribal kingdom. David's kingdom was simply 500 people with sticks in their hands shouting and cursing and spitting." So what evidence is there that David existed? What is the archaeological evidence that is there to show that he was the king of a great dynasty, as the Bible says? I'd like to go through just a few discoveries that have come about in recent years to show that the Bible is actually accurate and historical in its description of King David. The first is the Tel Dan inscription. In 1993, an inscription was found on a stone tablet that had the phrase, "The House of David." It was written about 200 years after David's rule by one of Israel's enemy, Hazael, the king of Damascus. He said, "I killed 70 kings. I killed a king from Israel, and I killed a king from the house of David." This proves David was a genuine historical figure and not just simply a literary creation of later Bible writers and editors. Archaeologist Joseph Garfinkel says, "House of David means dynasty of David." So now we know that there was a guy called David and that he had a dynasty. There are other inscriptions, the Misha inscription from the king of Moab, dating to less than 200 years of David, uses the same phrase, "the house of David." The inscriptions of Shoshank the First refer to the heights of David. So when you have inscriptions by kings of neighboring cities and countries like Damascus and Syria and Moab and Egypt, all to a lasting dynasty for David, you've got more than a tribal chief here. Another archaeological discovery was made in 2005. Archaeologist Elet Mazar came out and announced that she believed she had discovered the palace of King David. She'd been reading 2 Samuel 5:17 that described David going down or descending from his residence to the fortress. So she decided to look in the northern part of the old city, that's the highest part in Jerusalem. And as they dug down past the different layers, they came to a large stone structure with massive walls extending in every direction. She discovered ornate stone decorations for the top of a pillar, the most beautiful and intricate ever discovered in Israel. And they were able to date that wall exactly to the time of David based on pottery shards that dated to the end of the Iron Age. Inside one of the rooms, they found a beautiful clay vessel, a red and black jug, imported from Cyprus and dating to the 10th century BC. So you have the biggest, most beautiful building in the northern part of the old city that all dates to the time of David. What could it be? Well, she suggests it was his palace. Elet Mazar said, "The biblical narrative, I submit, it better explains the archaeology we have uncovered than any other hypothesis that has been put forward. Indeed, the archaeological remains square perfectly with the biblical interpretation that tells us David went down from there to the citadel." Yet another archaeological discovery in 2007 was made at Kirbet Kaiapha. It is the ruins, literally means David's ruin, in the Valley of Elah. We, of course, know that's the place where young shepherd boy David killed Goliath. It was excavated by archaeologist Joseph Garfinkel. All of the finds date exactly to the time of King David. And we see also in the Bible, in 1 Samuel 17, verse 52, it describes the Philistines fleeing David back to Gath via a road from Sheraim. Literally translate means two gates, the city of two gates. And the team that was excavating at Kirbet Kaiapha discovered exactly that, two dates. Critics said, "Well, it's just a Philistine city. It's not an Israelite city." But the city walls and design exactly match five other Israelite cities, but not one Philistine city. Moreover, the animal bones they excavated in the city from cattle, sheep, and goats all were there, but no pigs and no dogs. It was a kosher city. And moreover, they found pottery with writing on it in quotes of two biblical passages, the earliest known Hebrew inscription. Yosef Garfinkel says, here in Kirbet Kaiapha for the first time, we have a fortified city from the time of King David. The Bible and archaeology have to work together. Yet another archaeological discovery was King Solomon's copper mines. In Kirbet and Nahas, a 25-acre copper production site was discovered next to a large fortress complex, including the ruins of a 3,000-year-old guardhouse. They have dated it exactly to the time of King Solomon, based on date pits that were found there that were carbon dated. Professor Thomas Levy spent close to a decade excavating there. He says the scale of metal production here is that of an ancient state or kingdom. So we have this massive copper mining operation run by a kingdom close to Jerusalem that fits the date of David's son Solomon. He believes it's King Solomon's copper mines. Moreover, we also know that we have inscriptions of other kings that David interacted with. Hiram, king of Tyre, is attested in the writings of Menander of Ephesus. King Teta, or Tau, king of Hamath, congratulated David on his conquest in 2 Samuel 8, 5-10, and a beam in the temple of Aleppo attributed to him has been dated exactly to the time of King David. Shishak, or Shoshank I, is mentioned in connection with David's son Solomon in 1 Kings 11:40, and we know much about him from his inscriptions. And plus, we have inscriptions and writings of kings that descended from David, all through archaeology. King Uzziah, we have two stone seal inscriptions. Manasseh, in the inscriptions of the Assyrian king Esarhaddon, is mentioned. King Ahaz is mentioned in Tiglath-Pileser III's summary inscription. King Hezekiah in the Rasman cylinder of Sennacherib. And putting this all together, the National Geographic Society concluded, the proposition that a complex 10th century BC society may have existed on either side of the Jordan River has thrown Finkelstein's vision of the David and Solomon era squarely on the defensive. His many rebuttal papers and his sarcastic tone reflect that defensiveness, and his arguments at times seem a bit desperate. As Elat Mazar says with palpable satisfaction, this is the end of the Finkelstein school. Once again, we see from archaeology that the Bible can be trusted as historically reliable when it describes King David and the kingdom of Israel in his day. And I would submit to you, if the Bible can be trusted historically, it can also be trusted spiritually when it describes to us the good news of what Jesus has done for us. If you're interested in finding out more information about Bible archaeology, I invite you to go to BibleArchaeology.org. It's the website of the Associates for Biblical Research, a group of archaeologists and scholars who are dedicated to demonstrating the historical reliability of Scripture through research and Bible archaeology. So check out the website, BibleArchaeology.org.
You've been listening to Brian Windle with Digging for Truth, a program that presents solid archaeological evidence for biblical characters and events, helping us make links between Scripture and history. To contact Brian, send an email to hopestreamradio@gmail.com and put digging in the subject line.